You to open your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 33 this morning. Exodus chapter 33. I've been reading through Exodus in recent weeks, and as I ran across this passage, it kind of struck a chord with me in my own heart, something that I desire, something that I know that I need more of. And in reflecting upon this, I thought it might be helpful to share it with you as well. And it also may have some application to just preparing ourselves as we enter into the holiday season, and just some of the issues that oftentimes confront us that we might benefit from as we look at this passage together this morning. Exodus chapter 33, and I'd like to start reading in verse 7 down through verse 11. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And it came about, whenever Moses went out to the tent, that all the people would arise and stand, each at the entrance of his tent, and gaze after Moses until he entered the tent. Whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. When all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would arise and worship, each at the entrance of his tent. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. I think sometimes as believers we struggle in our walk with the Lord. We know that Christ is our Savior. We know that He is our Lord. We do read our Bible some. We pray some. But oftentimes we don't sense the nearness of God. There are times in our life when our relationship with the Lord seems distant. We seem disconnected. We sense at times that we're not living and walking in the abundance of life that we know the Lord would have for us. It's like Harold said in the Sunday school class this morning about the disciples who fished all night and caught nothing. I think sometimes in our walk with the Lord, we sense that we're fishing all night, and yet spiritually we're catching nothing. So times like this in our life that I think we're more prone to discouragement, we're more prone to the anxieties and worries of life, we're more prone to frustration, because we know that deep down in our hearts there's more. And deep down in our heart, we want it. I think as I've read through this passage, what has struck me is just the expression in verse 11 that the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face. And that expression strikes at my heart in terms of there is a relationship here that Moses has with God that we should desire. The last time I was at the Omniplex, there was this contraption. I don't know what else to call it. But it was this round disc, and you could come up to it, and it had a place on one end where you could rest your chin. And you put your chin on this disc, and out to the very sides, there were these handles, and you could bring these two handles forward, and the handles had two little vertical rods on them, and you could bring them forward, and it would test your peripheral vision. And of course, they started back here where you couldn't see them. And then as you brought them forward, you could eventually, when you could start seeing them, that's the limits of your peripheral vision. And I really think in many ways that illustrates where the Lord is in our life at times. He's in our peripheral vision. We don't have a face-to-face relationship with the Lord like Moses did. But He's out there, He's in our life, but He's in the peripheral vision of our life. And I think when the Lord is out there and not directly in front of us, I think that's when the issues of life become much more heavy, much more difficult, and I think we struggle more. Again, it's like we fish all night, but we catch nothing. I think the key to building our faith and restoring these relationships with the Lord when we feel like that they are less than what we want is to better understand this relationship of the Lord with Moses, where He would speak to Moses face to face. Because that speaks of a relationship that we all need and that we all want. What I'd like for us to do is to reflect upon this morning. Because when we're not living with a face-to-face relationship with the Lord, it becomes very difficult. In Psalm 13, verse 1, David knew times like this. David knew what it was like not to have that face-to-face relationship with the Lord. And this is how he expresses it. "How long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" In Psalm 30, verse 7, he says, "O Lord, thou didst hide thy face, and I was dismayed." And in Psalm 143, verse 7, "Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide thy face from me, lest I become like those who go down to the pit." So those are some of the feelings, some of the experiences we have when we're not in a face-to-face relationship with the Lord, but He's somewhere out in the periphery, almost hiding His face from us. And whenever we get in that situation, we need to get back in front of the Lord and communicate with the Lord on this face-to-face relationship that Moses had. Well, let me speak to the issue of what does that mean, a face-to-face relationship with the Lord. This expression, face-to-face, occurs 13 times in the Bible, and I think as it relates to Moses, we can say several things to describe what it was like. First off, although contrary to what it actually suggests to us on the surface, a face-to-face relationship meant for Moses that he did not actually see the face of God. That's the first thing that we can be very clear about. If you look, for example, in the same chapter in verse 18, later on, when Moses desires to see the glory of God, the Lord responds to him and he says in verse 20, "You cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live." And then the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and ye shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about while my glory is passing by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and ye shall see my back, but my face ye shall not see." It shall not be seen. So a face-to-face relationship that he had with the Lord in verse 11 did not mean that he was literally seeing the face of God. In other words, this is a figure of speech. A face-to-face relationship is not actually seeing the literal face of God, but it's having this relationship with the Lord that we'll seek to explain more in just a moment. what Moses was seeing in the tabernacle in verses 7 through 11 is he would see the Shekinah glory of God. The glory of God manifested itself in the cloud, in the pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. That's what he saw. And out of that, he had a face-to-face relationship with the Lord, but it did not involve actually seeing the literal face of God. Secondly, we should point out that this face-to-face relationship that Moses had with the Lord was not a perfect relationship by any stretch of the imagination. It was imperfect. There was always more glory to see than what Moses saw gazing at that pillar of cloud by day. That glory, though it was wonderful and marvelous and special, cannot compare with the glory of our own face-to-face with the Lord. And when we see and we walk with the Lord and communicate with the Lord on a face-to-face level today, we will not see the face of Christ either, as Moses did not. And even our relationship will be imperfect, as was Moses. We're told this when Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, that now we see dimly as in a mirror, but then face to face. There is another face to face which transcends whatever face to face relationship we develop now. It cannot compare with the future glorious face to face relationship with God that we will see. See, now our face to face with the Lord will be imperfect. It will be dimly lit as in a mirror. But then on that day, when Christ comes back, when the glory of His kingdom and of His person is revealed, then Revelation 22 verse 4 will take place, that they will see His face. Literally. Though that cannot take place now. So it's not a perfect relationship with God, but it is a much improved relationship with God than what we normally experience today. The thing that we can learn thirdly about this is that a face-to-face relationship with God refers to an intimate, direct, and personal relationship. That's really what we're talking about. When Moses spoke with the Lord and the Lord would speak with Moses face-to-face, we're talking about an intimate and direct and personal relationship with the Lord. Turn over, if you will, to Numbers chapter 12. In Numbers chapter 12, if you look at verses 6 through 8, you'll see an idea of what this means. Numbers chapter 12, starting in verse 6. Now, this is in the context of Moses' brother and sister, Miriam and Aaron, becoming quite jealous over Moses' God-ordained authority and in relationship with the Lord. And so they began to complain and they began to murmur against Moses. And in verse 5 it says, "Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the doorway of the tent, and He called Aaron and Miriam. And when they had both come forward, He said, 'Hear now My words. Is there a prophet among you? I, the Lord, shall make Myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with My servant Moses. He is faithful in all My household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly, and not in dark sayings. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against My servant, against Moses?'" Now notice the contrast here. With other prophets, the Lord would speak to them in a vision and in a dream, but not so with Moses. With Moses, He would speak openly, not in dark sayings. He would speak mouth to mouth, as with a friend. So that the face-to-face relationship speaks of this open, mouth-to-mouth relationship, if you will, that only Moses had. This is a very special and unique relationship among all the other prophets that Moses himself had. This relationship was obviously very unique, special, personal, intimate, and where all the other prophets would get the word of the Lord in visions and dreams, oftentimes in symbols, God would actually speak to Moses openly, face to face. Now what's interesting is that many people today, when they think of the ideal relationship with God, what do they seek after? Dreams and visions, don't they? And yet this is, in this very context, is an inferior way of God communicating. And yet so many today, particularly in certain circles, on TV and elsewhere, oh, they're always pushing these visions and dreams that they have. Well, Moses had it better than that, and we have it better than that also, in a face-to-face relationship with the Lord. So that's what this expression ultimately communicates. It's an intimate, personal encounter with the Lord, not through angels, not through intermediaries, not through visions, not through dreams, but it speaks of God clearly communicating with Moses. So that the best communication is always face to face. For then misunderstandings can be immediately cleared up. You know, when you communicate with people like through email and stuff, how many of you have communicated through a letter or an email to someone and had something misunderstood? I mean, I've had that happen. I'm sure you probably have too. The best kind of communication, the clearest, the most effective, is a face-to-face. And that's what Moses had. It speaks of God's willingness to communicate with Moses on a level deeper and clearer and more intimate than what the other prophets had. In a face-to-face relationship, God communicated His love and His friendship and shared His mind more openly and willingly with Moses than He did to the others. And ultimately, Moses was privileged in this face-to-face relationship to see more of God than the other prophets did. Because if you remember there in Moses, in Numbers chapter 12, verse 8, it says that Moses has even seen My form. And that's probably the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ walking before Moses. But even then, Moses couldn't see His face, but Moses saw the backside of God. The other prophets didn't get to see that. But that's all coming out of this face-to-face relationship with the Lord. Well, how do we develop this? If that's something that we need, and I think we all desire a more intimate, a more personal, a more direct relationship with the Lord, one that's more fruitful, one that's more personal, if you will, how can we develop that? Well, obviously, and bottom line, this is God's sovereign choice. I mean, it was God that chose Moses. It was God that ordained to have this special relationship with Him. But I remind you that God has chosen us by His grace and glory to enter into a relationship with Christ, and that we can, by God's grace, grow in this more intimate relationship with the Lord. And we do that, I think, as we observe and follow some of the pathways, some of the directional signs that the Scripture gives to us for developing more of this face-to-face walk with the Lord. Well, if we look at Moses as somewhat of a model for this relationship, there is a prerequisite for this face-to-face, intimate, personal relationship with the Lord. And that requisite is humility. You know, if you think of all the ways that Moses is described in the Bible, what was the essence of his character? Well, the King James Bible describes him as the meekest man that ever lived on the earth. The New American Standard would say that that word is humility. Numbers 12:3. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who is on the face of the earth. You see, humility is key to developing this relationship with the Lord. Proud hearts will never discover a face-to-face relationship with a holy God. It must take place in the context of deep humility. And we see Moses' humility at the burning bush We see it when God revealed Himself to Moses and called Moses to this great task of delivering His people out of Egypt. And Moses kept saying, "Lord, I'm not qualified. I don't know how to speak. I'm not an eloquent man, Lord. I'm not the man for the job. I'm not able to do this. I'm not a good leader. I can't do this." And he had a very defacing view of himself. See, that godly humility. And then he shows his humility when the Lord finally told him just to shut up. "You're my man. You're going to do it whether you want to or not." And then Moses said, "Yes, Lord, I'll obey." And he did everything as the Lord told him. Even walking right up to the king of Egypt, Pharaoh himself, and saying to him, "Thus saith the Lord, let my people go." Now you're either a madman or you're a humble, obedient man of God to do something like that. If you and I want more of a face-to-face relationship with Jesus Christ, we must ask God to humble our soul. Because that's the sphere, that is the context of the character of Moses' heart, which brought him into this wonderful relationship with the Lord. Well, in addition to that, let's look at Exodus 33 and just make a couple of observations about how this face-to-face relationship developed and grew with Moses. I think it started all the way back in the burning bush. You see it at Mount Sinai. You see it going on here in Exodus 33. But notice a couple of things here in verse 7 of Exodus 33. Now, Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp. In developing this face-to-face relationship with the Lord, what we see in this context is what Moses would do is he would take the tent, that is the tabernacle, and he would take it a long distance outside of the camp, and he would pitch it, and that's where he would meet God. And the first thing we see is that he would go outside the camp in verse 7, a good distance from the camp. Now, why did he do that, do you think? Well, if you remember your Bible story, remember that in Exodus chapter 32, what had happened? Moses had been up on the Mount of Sinai, and the elders and the leaders down in the camp wondered what had happened to him, thought he had disappeared or died. And so they talked Aaron into making this golden calf. And the golden calf, of course, was a great abomination, a great idol, a horrendous sin, and all of that took place in the camp. And if you look, for example, at chapter 32, verse 19, it says, "It came about as soon as Moses came near the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger burned, and he threw the tablets from his hands and shattered them at the foot of the mountain." So that in order to get this face-to-face relationship with the Lord, he had to remove himself from sin. He had to remove himself from the sinful people that had committed themselves to worship an idol instead of the true God. And I think whenever we're seeking to develop more of a face-to-face relationship with the Lord, we must go outside the camp. Because we will never get a face-to-face relationship with God as long as we are face-to-face with the world. But whenever I have the world in front of me, and whenever I have false religion in front of me, or sin in front of me, or my flesh in front of me, as long as that is in front of me and my eyes are fixed there, I will never have a face-to-face with God. As long as I have a face-to-face with the world. So you must go out of the camp. We must separate ourselves from the world, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and turn our back on sin to see and develop that face-to-face with the Lord. Secondly, what Moses used to do is he would take the tent in verse 7 and he would pitch it, and this tent would be called the tent of meeting because that's where he would meet God. and he would set up the tent, and there he would go in and he would meet with God. And the Shekinah glory of God would descend down upon that tent, and there he would speak with Moses face to face. So on the one hand, we go outside of the camp. Secondly, we must go into the tent of meeting. We must go to where God is. Now, the tent of meeting speaks of Jesus Christ symbolically and typically. The tabernacle was a tent with many pieces of furniture in it that all of us probably can see pictures of Jesus Christ represented there. Particularly in the Holy of Holies and the mercy seat. That's where we see the blood atonement occur. The mercy seat, that's where Christ is pictured in so many ways, as well as in the front part. But in all of this, it represents Christ. And I think if you and I are ever to have this face-to-face relationship with the Lord, not only must we go out of the camp, out of the world, if you will, but we must go into that relationship through Jesus Christ. We must enter into Christ. We must enter into the blood sacrifice that only Christ can pay for our sins. We must have that face-to-face relationship with God in the context of Jesus Christ and all that the tabernacle represents. Christ is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, which is found in the face of Christ, 2 Corinthians 4:6. He is the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father. When we draw near to Christ, we draw near to the Father in John 1:18. We're to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So to go into the tent of meeting for us is to draw near to Christ, because Christ is the one who reveals the glory of God to us. And of course, the tabernacle for Moses was also the place where he would hear the voice of God. When the glory would descend on that tent, God's voice, I believe, would literally be communicated to the ears of Moses. So he had to go to the tent, because the tent was where the voice was. Now, you and I today will not have a face-to-face relationship with God like that. We will not hear voices. We will not hear God speaking audibly to us. And the simple reason is because now we have His Word in the Word of God. This is His Word. And if we ever are going to develop that face-to-face relationship with the Lord, we need to go where the voice of God is. And the voice of God is found in Holy Scripture. You and I will never grow in our relationship with the Lord unless we commit ourselves to spending more time in the Word of God. Now, I don't know how much time you spend in the Scriptures each day or each week, but I can tell you that our face-to-face relationship with the Lord is going to be dependent upon our time in Holy Scripture. I guarantee you that is an essential element of developing this face-on-face relationship with the Lord. We must hear His voice. And we hear His voice through the Word of God today. And if your relationship and my relationship needs to be jump-started again, and we desire more intimacy and a more personal relationship with the Lord, we need to get back into hearing His voice as we hear it through the Word of God. There is no substitute for this, beloved. There are no shortcuts to this. It takes time. And it's not something that we can do 5 minutes a day. It takes time. So we go outside the camp. Maybe there's sin in our life that we need to confess. Maybe there's issues in which we're becoming too drawn into the world. We're too much face-to-face with the world. We need to leave that. We need to go outside the camp. We need to come to God, come to the Father through the Son. We need to come to Him through the Word of God, hearing the voice of God through the Word of God. And then thirdly, we need to seek the Lord. And we see this also in verse 7. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And this is a crucial element. Because if we're not truly seeking the Lord with our hearts, then that face-to-face relationship will not be developed. You know, I love David. David, you know, he struggled like we did. I mean, my goodness, adultery and murder. We haven't even done that, right? Maybe in our hearts, but not outwardly like even David did. But in spite of his weaknesses and his flaws, he was a man who sought the Lord. For example, in Psalm 27, verse 4, he says, "One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple." That's what he sought. That's what he desired. He wanted that. In Psalm 105, verse 4, it says, "Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually." In Psalm 42, verse 1, David says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for Thee, O God." You see, we cannot expect for our walk with the Lord to deepen, to become more personal, to become more intimate, if we are not seeking after the Lord with our heart. For we will never improve in our relationship with Christ if that seeking is not there. In Psalm 27, verse 8, we see that David certainly had a resolve to seek the face of the Lord. For he says, "When thou didst say, seek my face, my heart said to thee, thy face, O Lord, I shall seek." And that's what the Lord is saying to all of us this morning. Seek my face. And our heart should say, as did David, "Thy face, O Lord, I will seek." Because that is crucial to developing more of that face-to-face with the Lord. And it says that when they went out of the camp and they pitched the tent and they sought the Lord, then in verse 10, the pillar of cloud would stand at the entrance of the tent and it would descend. And there the Lord would speak with Moses, verse 9 and 10. That's the key. Going out of the camp, pitching the tent, seeking the Lord. What hinders us in these things? What is it that moves Christ out to the periphery of our vision? Well, certainly, sin is one of those issues that will certainly do it. Sin always removes God's face until we repent. Adam and Eve sinned, and suddenly when they had that face-to-face relationship with the Lord, they lost it and were expelled out of the garden. Absalom and his father David had that face-to-face relationship until Absalom killed his brother Amnon, and because that sin was never dealt with properly, Absalom left and fled and lived for 3 years in Geshur. And then finally David was humiliated into calling him back to Jerusalem, and Absalom came back to Jerusalem. But even then David would not allow his son to come and see his face for 2 more years. So that for a 5-year period, their relationship was estranged because of sin that was not resolved. Haven't we experienced that, husbands and wives and children and parents, in our relationship that would... something happens and a sin enters in and there's a blockage in our relationship. There's a blockage. You don't have that face-to-face relationship with your wife or your husband, that loving, smiling countenance, that warmth, that personal, that intimate relationship because of some sin. And it's when the sin is resolved and it is repented of, well, then the relationship is restored. And it's the same way in our walk with Christ. We need to confess our sins. That's what will help bring Christ from the periphery of our vision back into our face. Another thing that hinders us in our face-to-face walk with God is just not only sin, but just a distracted lifestyle. We're just too busy. We're too busy to spend time with the Lord. We're too busy to spend time in the Word. We're too busy to do what we ought to do, to be in the path of blessing where God walked so we can meet with God. We're just too busy. We're too distracted with everything. That's a great lesson of Martha and Mary. Here Mary sitting at the feet of Christ, and Martha, bless her heart. She just got to love Martha. I mean, God bless these precious women. They're always serving, but she was so caught up in her distraction. She was making the food. She was setting the table. She was doing everything that should be done. And yet she was so bothered and distracted by it. She didn't have a face-to-face relationship with the Lord. Mary did. But not Martha. Because she was just so distracted. And you know how many people go through the Christmas season and they never get face to face with the Lord. Because we are so distracted. So many presents to buy, so many things to do, so many decorations to put up, so many activities to do, and we never get face to face with the one that we're supposed to be worshiping because we're so distracted. Another thing that hinders our face-to-face walk with God is not only sin and a distracted lifestyle, but we just get too preoccupied with our trials and our circumstances. That was Peter's problem. Peter, out of the boat, walking on water, because Jesus was there walking on water and bid him come. And Peter, with his eyes on the Lord, got out of the water and was walking on the water. And then suddenly it's the wind and the waves around him. And suddenly his eyes go off of that face-to-face relationship with Christ and onto the woe is me and the wind and the waves and the problems, and suddenly begins to sink in life. Because our eyes go off of Christ onto all of the issues, the money problems, the family problems, the relationship problems that we have, just the difficulties of life. And suddenly our eyes are there and not where they should be on the face of Christ. The worries and the cares of the world entangle us. They choke us. We're fighting for our lives sometimes. We just need to get our face back pointing towards Christ. Well, why do we need this face-to-face relationship with the Lord? Well, because it's one of the keys to helping us deal with our sins. I tell you what, if you get in a face-to-face relationship with the Lord, be prepared to face your sin. This is not something we oftentimes want to do, but it's something that is essential. One of the greatest blessings that will ever come to you is when the Lord reveals sin in your life. It's one of the most sanctifying things that can happen. Yet it's one of the things we dread the most and we avoid the most. And yet it's one of the most healing blessings that can ever occur in our life. You know, Peter, when he denied the Lord three times, you know what it was that brought weeping and repentance into his heart? There he was in the courtyard of Annas, and he had just denied the Lord for the third time. And there in the middle of the night, that charcoal fire that was burning was casting a shadow on the ground, and a hue of light was going out. And he happened to look over at Jesus. And at that moment, though Jesus had been in the periphery of his vision, Christ turned and looked at Peter eye to eye. That's all it took. And Peter suddenly realized what the Lord had told him and the guilt of his sin flooded into his heart, and he started weeping. And ran out. It's dangerous to have a face-to-face walk with the living God. But it's very much needful for our sanctification. The second thing, the reason why we need it, is because it's the fountain of our blessings. If you need more of God in your life, you need more of a face-to-face walk with the Lord. David said, in your presence is fullness of joy. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me in thy loving kindness. Because when God's face shines upon our face, then we are delivered from our trials and afflictions. Maybe they're not taken away, but maybe you're given the peace and the grace to endure it in faith. Make thy face shine upon thy servant, Psalm 119. And teach me thy statutes, because when the face of Christ is shining on our face, then we're learning, then we're growing, then we're being taught. And as Moses prayed in Numbers 6, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. So that blessing and being kept and having the grace of God and the peace of God all comes from God's face shining upon your face. That is why we need that face-to-face relationship with the Lord. We need more of that. We need more joy. We need more instruction. We need more grace. We need more keeping power of God. We need more blessing. We need more peace that comes from God's face shining upon us. And as we have that face-to-face walk with the Lord, these blessings will flow in our life all the more. And when that happens, beloved, you and I will radiate more with the glory of God. Because it was when Moses would have his face-to-face with God that his face would be touched with a little glint of the Shekinah of God, and his face would radiate. Your life will shine forth the fruit of the Spirit, the grace of Christ, when we get in front of His face. Well, I close with a final illustration of why we need the face of God. I love driving in Kansas. I usually don't like to take vacations in Kansas. I'm on my way to Colorado because I like that a little bit better. But I love driving through Kansas because they have these incredible fields of sunflowers. And during the middle of the summer, as you're driving down the highway, you run across these huge fields, and all of those bright yellow faces with all the black seeds in the middle. So all of them have these bright yellow petals, and they're just totally, completely open up. And they're all facing one thing, and it's the sun. It's a whole field of them. Hundreds and thousands of them all have their faces pointed in exactly the same direction. And it's wherever the sun is. And their little faces just follow the sun across the sky. Why is that? Why did God make them that way? Because maximum sun produces maximum grace. The more their face is shining to the sun, as directly face-to-face as they can get, the more of the sun's rays they get, the more energy they get, the more growing power they get, the more fruitfulness they get, and they follow the sun all the way. They don't want to miss just any of the sun's shining rays. They want it all, because face-to-face means maximum grace and growth and vitality and health. Because you see, in God's face, there is grace. And that is what we need the most. And that is why we need this face-to-face relationship with God. Well, one of the great opportunities we have to focus upon Christ, to pitch the tent of the tabernacle and to gaze upon the symbols of Jesus Christ, which is so crucial in developing this walk with the Lord, is the Lord's Supper.